Good morning. Today is Friday, October the 2nd. Joining us this morning is Eureka Interim City Manager, Mr. Miles. Wow.
Mr. Miles.
Yeah, you made another month. Next time it'll be your total name, and then the next time it'll be just your last name. You build into formality around here.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Maybe most times it goes the other way. Oh, Winston, let's see if we can end the week on a positive.
Well, to celebrate how Halloween will be here before we know it, how did the word toast get into the expression, let's drink a toast?
Toasting someone probably doesn't have anything to do with pyres in the middle of the town square. That's not a positive thing.
You're dating yourself.
I'm going to the Middle Ages because it's got to be, you know, grog or, I don't know, is it like Germanic?
Sure, no. It has nothing to do with actually toasting bread.
Maybe toast.
He kind of gave that away, didn't he?
Yeah.
The custom was to place a small piece of toast in the bottom of the glass as a delicacy, and since in drinking to a person you drained your glass, you drank this bit of toast.
That's kind of like drinking the worm, right?
Yeah, or the cockroach. Depends on what part of the world you're in. Well, you got like almost 3/4 points on that one.
That was pretty close, yes.
Yeah, that's a definite upswing.
Yes.
Well, yeah, we ended it positive. Oh, so how you doing?
Doing well. It's been a good ride. We've been...
Made it through the month, obviously.
Made it through the month. It's been 3 months, believe it or not.
Well, I know. I was just thinking with the last little bit, with the fires and all the other goofy stuff. Thankfully, you don't have to mess around with that stuff, too, huh?
Yeah, we don't. I mean, obviously, you know, there's impacts related to that. People coming into town, pandemic things, those type of things, and you have to address. But it's been good.
Now, typically, the city doesn't get tax numbers for a quarter, and then what, about a month after the quarter is concluded?
We're going to get our first, I believe we spoke to Director Millar Lane, my landlord, about last week, and I think the expectation is to have the second quarter, which would be March on to June, and sometime in November. So we'll have an idea of, you know, whether or not the projections due to the pandemic are accurate.
Yeah, is the same thing true with the TOT or the bed tax? Is there that delay also, or is that a shorter reporting
period? No, it's a shorter reporting period.
I'm wondering, with all of the refugee folks that are coming through, I mean, we're seeing certainly different patterns, but we've seen a lot of different patterns, and now with the fire that's going on that they're dealing with down south all over the place, that we are seen as one of those refugee islands of, well, we would call it sanity. Let's just call it semi-sanity.
Yeah, and not...
So we're seeing some numbers that aren't typically here this time of the year. I'm wondering if that's helping to offset some of the previous stuff.
Yeah, we get analytics from Eddie Alexander, our marketing firm, about occupancy rates. And it's been at about like 80%, so it's been pretty high.
It's a little bit,
I think,
yeah.
And it's been, I mean, for summer, I don't think it's that high, but it's more than expected during this time. I think it's not only the refugees, but it's also the just where we're at, you know. And they do these analytics, and people are looking for places to go. If they're willing to travel, they're looking at a place they can drive to. They're looking at a place that's isolated and has low numbers. So we're pretty much the five-hour drive radius thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that would be encouraging. Now, analytically, intuitively, what we're experiencing is more heightened housing demand. Mm-hmm. That we seem to be riding a wave now that's got us back to before the Obama recession and probably even far beyond that. I mean, I'm talking to some of the real estate guys, and they're saying, next 2 or 3 years, it's going to continue upticking at the rate that it is now. Mm-hmm. Are you getting pressures from developers to get building plans approved quicker, or to rehab houses? Or I know you guys had the mother-in-law thing last year, but are you seeing some of those early signs of housing pressures and people reacting to it now?
We are seeing a lot of development. I mean, that's one of the areas where it's been good. I mean, I know that our hardware stores are doing very well during these times, but our building division has, you know, been very busy, and they've been catching up on a lot of work that's been done. They're fully caught up now. We just went through a recruitment and made an offer for a new chief building official, and so we're trying to kind of build up that division so that we can, you know, be prepared for this. You know, we just also went out to an RFP for some of our properties to establish some low-income housing. We got some really good responses, and we'll be going to council with a recommendation on the three parking lots that we put up. So there's one on 8th and G, one on 6th and M, and one on Sunny and Myrtle. And those three locations.
Sunny and Myrtle, where is that one?
By the domes.
Oh. Is that the little goofy one that the purple truck always parks on across from Alder Bay?
Yes.
Okay.
Purple truck? Sunny. I live in that. Come on, I don't see any purple trucks over there.
Just one. It's a panel van.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh, I did. I am embarrassed. I mean, growing up, I should have known that one.
Yeah. It's okay. It was really good. The responses we got were much higher than the number of units that we were expecting. They're a lot bigger developments. They're from out of the area. And we're proposing many more units than what was required of the RFP. So it's going to really help with our housing stocks and help us meet our regional housing needs assessment as part of our housing element.
Is that something that's mandated by the state?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not trying to force something in. It's something that you have to comply to.
Yeah, it's for funding, so we have a housing element, and then a portion of that is a needs assessment and, you know, what kind of stock of housing that we're looking to fulfill. And so this is going to really help with that. And we have, this is 3 of 12 properties that we've proposed that'll be
all for low rent housing.
They're mixed.
Low income.
Yeah, they're mixed. I think the RFP required 5 units of low income and 15 units of very low income, which is below 30% median income. But these had more of a mix, so they meet those requirements, but also have additional.
KINS News and I didn't cut them off. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. See, I got it right. From the city of Eureka. Miles, before the break, we were talking about some of the low-income, and you said very low-income housing. Is that homeless? Or is that, the classification that is being used by some, working poor? They got a job, but they can't really make ends meet, and the jobs they have aren't $100,000 a year jobs. They're significantly less than that, but they are employed. Is that kind of the profile who fits into that element of these developments?
Oh, well, we'd like to. I mean, obviously, the intent is to get people into transitional housing. Once you get them into transitional housing, you work with them and get them into employment and then try and move them into something similar to this. Yes, there's definitely people who are community members that are experiencing homelessness that have jobs and would definitely qualify and be able to move into this if it was, you know, 30% of the median income here. Don't quote me, but I mean, it's less than 20 grand a year. You know, you're probably making 18, 17, somewhere around there.
Right.
And so there's definitely people, I'm sure, that are working and are without houses right now that make that amount of money, and this will just increase the stock for them so that they'll have a place to go.
Or single parent also could be in that.
Yeah, there's a mix of one-bedroom studio, two-bedroom, and three-bedroom in all of the locations that are being proposed.
The parking lots that you were referencing, is that the total footprint of the build-out, or is there additional associated with that? Because I'm thinking some of those properties, there's not a lot of space there to start with, and if it's more than like two or three housing units, I fully anticipate that it would be. Mm-hmm. Where's the space for vehicles, or are you thinking public transportation would be how they?
So there's offsets that you can do, so you can put in bike facilities. All three of the locations are by transportation, so all of them are by bus stops. So there's that, as well as bicycle. All of the proposals had parking involved, and well, not adequate for the entire building, but there would be some portion of it being parking. All of them are multiple stories, and so that's how you get the amount of units that are being proposed. But yeah, a lot of it's going to be offset the parking through bike facilities and the fact that there's local transportation next door.
When you say multiple, you know, in Humboldt County, that means two. No. Unless it's a Victorian, right?
No, but it can.
So are you talking 3, 4, 5?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. One that of the
certainly changes the landscape in those neighborhoods.
It does. I think that the benefit.
Pardon far me. Outweighs. View shed.
The
Sorry.
View shed.
I went back to the 90s again.
The good thing is these aren't in the coastal zone. No, just joking. Just joking, Bob Merrill. I'm just joking. But they are. You know, some of the locations are by large buildings. I mean, 8th and G, you know, even though Eureka Inn's not, you know, 4 or 5 stories, but it's 3, I believe, and has some big peaks. I mean, it's pretty
right,
big, too.
Right, right.
Sunny and Myrtle, you know, you have a lot of elevation change there. And, you know, as far as people and view sheds, I don't think it's really blocking much of a view shed there.
No, if you try driving down Myrtle, it's probably not too much. Yeah. I'm looking over at the alder trees, drop their leaves. Okay, yeah. Fine.
And then 6 and M, you know, you may have a point there. I just think that, you know, the benefits of having these units and being able to provide housing for people is pretty significant.
6th and M, that's down by, you guys are on K, right? 6th yep. and K?
It's the public parking lot across from Pro Pacific, kind of catty corner. Behind the Newson, there's a barber shop and the Mexican restaurant, Sinistero.
Use the old one, the old name. People might have a chance to remember.
Well, it's been
there's
about
been a lot
of
turnovers, yeah.
It's been a few.
Okay. And those are large enough? Quarter city blocks are large enough for some of these
facilities
to pencil out?
Yeah, 45,000 square feet or 43,000.
Oh, that's right, because you go in multiples up.
Oh, it's
so your
go.
Footprint isn't 45,000.
And then there's floor area ratio and all the other planning stuff they have to abide by. Some of the proposals didn't meet that, but we could work with them to make adjustments.
Now, architecturally, what were you stipulating? Because I would imagine you don't want something that looks like City Hall.
Yes. Some people love that building.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, if you're into 50s retro, fine. Other than that, you know, Victorian Village doesn't quite blend well with that.
Yeah. All of them had their own, you know, renditions and conceptual ideas of what it would look like. Obviously, going through design review, we can make adjustments to that. I think that's one of the biggest thing our council had concerns about. We've had proposals that have come in, and when it goes to the design review process, it looks one way, and then, you know, there's some value engineering that happens as you go from, you know, design to actually build out, and it changes a lot. And so we're really trying to avoid that from happening and making it, you know, what we would expect to see here in Eureka.
There's no Sam Stanson pink
they're
going to be allowed in any of these buildings, right? Boy, that was a rough couple years for Old Town when the Vance was looking that way. Oh, man. So, well, you know, and I would think one of the cool things is the fact that the city really doesn't have an architectural design, because we've been built out mm-hmm. over so many different periods. You know, do you look at Ernie Pearson's in his style? Do you look at the Victorian style? Mm-hmm. Things in between, some of the new cool stuff that's coming out. I mean, the eclecticness of is kind of part of what makes Eureka, Eureka.
Yeah, and fitting something into some of these areas, like you said, it's so diverse. I mean, 8th and G, you have many different types of buildings from many different eras. Sunny and Myrtle's pretty much green space, you know, surrounded by that, and then some residential houses. But and then in 6 and M there, you know, there's a lot of different varieties.
Old pictures show a lot of buildings that aren't there.
Yes.
Is there any thoughts for these to go down and have a basement underneath? Is that part of it, or is it all surface plus?
None of them came in with underground parking or anything.
It's 8:30.
Hi, Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery, Interim City Manager for Eureka. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Humboldt Termite and Pest Control. Or did I say that again? I may have said that already. Baywood.
He did say it again.
All right, there we go. Double pops for the guys. Miles, as you're looking at some of these, I guess, pent-up demand projects, would be the way to think of it. To me, it's kind of encouraging as all get out seeing some of these homes that haven't had any TLC for a long time. People are in there, they're working on them. Mm-hmm. They're cleaning them up. And I suppose, yeah, it's tough if you're not riding the wave. If you're already in home ownership, it really doesn't matter because everything's relative and you just kind of go along for the ride. If you're not in home ownership, I get it, mm-hmm. big time. But to have these properties pencil out so that it's worth spending $50,000 or $60,000 and fixing them up because they're going to get a positive ROI on it, mm-hmm. that's cool. I mean, yeah. We're starting to see the stuff that other communities have seen for years come here instead of just seeing buildings get older and tireder and it just kind of spiraling down. Is there any thought that the city's going to be really engaging in a viable, and I use that with purpose, not with purpose, first-time homeowner, so that as the properties are going up, that Eureka doesn't become either all rental or multifamily, and we have owner-occupied.
Yeah, I think it needs to be a diverse, you know, mix of all of those things. We've always had a first-time home buyer. We've spent our money on
that
for
a long time. But where's the level versus where's the level of home value today?
Yeah, and it's going way up. I mean, a lot of the properties that are going out right now are selling for a lot more than what they're listing for. But I think it's
does the first-time home buyer program recognize that, and is it going up as housing values are going up, or is it just at what $150,000 and you get whatever the percentage is and thank you very much?
Oh no, I think we make adjustments based on the market. But I think what's interesting is that, you know, now during a time, you know, you have a pandemic and everything like that, and there's always a positive that comes out of a negative. What you're talking about as far as people coming in and fixing up homes and those type of things, you know, the trend of working from home and the ability to work from home, I think this area is really highly desirable, similar to those people looking to travel. We're in an isolated area. We have a low population. We have, you know, a lot of outdoor recreational activities to do. Those types of things.
The selling points are all cool.
Yeah.
Once we get that connection to that big fiber optic coming in, and now we have capacity and certainty.
Yeah, very important, and that is being worked on right now.
How close is that? Is there a timeline on that?
We're going to have a presentation to council, I think. Either the second meeting in October, which is October 20th, or the first meeting in probably not on election day, but October 20th, and then maybe the second meeting in November. But yeah, they've got an alignment, they've got a plan. So yeah, there's, I believe, two fiber optic lines that are going to be going from Japan over here into Eureka.
Which is a little, but okay, it's better than what we got now.
Oh yeah, definitely. Redundancy is good. We do have redundancy now, but the more we can get and the more bandwidth we can get, the better.
Well, sure. I mean, you got to have the capacity here. Are you now? Eureka doesn't have that many properties that are undeveloped of any kind of significant footprint, but you guys kind of control some of the stuff on the waterfront. Well, that's the wrong word because you got the Coastal Commission and the Corps of Engineers controlling.
But I think,
also, I mean, you just couldn't decide to put in, somebody wanted to bring in a computer farm or something.
So we're working
on
that right now.
A high-tech thing. Yeah. Can that be rezoned to allow for non-coastal dependent?
Yeah, so what we're looking at now, and We've gone through our general plan update. We've done the inland side. We're looking at the coastal zone. We're working on our update to our local coastal program. That'll include some changes that we'd like to see in our zoning. One of the things that we would like to see is in those areas that are going to remain to be coastal-dependent industrial, because one of the ideas is we have a lot of coastal-dependent industrial property that's just not usable as coastal-dependent industrial property. You can't
historically,
get a boat to
it. Or you just...
Oh, they're all over the place. We have properties that are inland, nowhere near a dock, and you can never even get a boat there. And
how'd that happen?
It's happened. It's been that way for a while.
Okay.
But even those
just residual of past?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. With ideas of maybe dredging, I don't know. But there's a possibility that we can take coastal dependent industrial and look at conditional uses for CDI, so industrial uses, other types of uses that aren't strictly coastal dependent industrial. So we'll be, you know, our
you might get that hotel on the waterfront.
Well, I don't think that's a problem. I think that, you know, the CDI properties that we have, you know, we have other zone properties that would accommodate a hotel. You know, and there's been interest, and, you know.
Well, the big one that Gary Stone and his folks were trying to do, but yeah. Then the Corps started talking about shadows of docks or something.
Well, we're going to go through that, but that's one of the things. We're doing a text amendment right now that's going to allow for a service. Don't kill me, Kristen, but I believe it's service commercial or waterfront commercial. I forget what it is. That allows for a higher height limit. So we can go up to five stories. And so that's a text amendment that's going to be going to Coastal Commission in the next couple of months.
Cool. So there's some stuff going on.
Yes, there
definitely
is.
That's the cool
is.
Stuff. Yes. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Miles Slattery. Miles, what are some of the cool things that are out there that you're excited about that maybe we don't know about?
I should know about these, but I think that we've done a really good job addressing the pandemic and some of the financial issues people are going through. We have a rental assistance program right now that allows for people who are behind or arrears in their rent to get free grant funding from the city in order to make up for that. We also have
so they get the money so that the landlords then get paid.
Yes, and we do the same thing for a utilities assistance program that allows if you have a cable bill, those type of things. You know, one of the things that you know we recognize is that
not the big fancy cable bill.
No, but somebody, kids, okay. I mean, now you're having to work from home, and we have a lot of low-income families that, you know, can't pay their cable bill, and kid can't get education.
But if you got 10 different movie channels.
Yeah, well, we're not paying.
You're not looking at that. Yeah, okay.
But, actually, you know, technically any utility. But either way, I think it's important that people are able to, you know, stay in their homes. And then we do a business one, too. So we just came out last council meeting. Council approved a... new program that allows for grants up to $7,500 for people, whether it's retail or restaurants or bars, to build a parklet out in front of their business so that they can have outdoor dining and seating and outdoor retail.
You mean the sidewalk kickout thing?
Yep. And then we also have another.
How does that one? Okay, you lose parking lots or spaces, mm-hmm. and now you've got people walking through the middle of. Isn't there like a risk or? I'm thinking workers' comp claims, things of that nature, or are these now more acceptable and they're just there are accommodations being made by state law?
No, it's been accommodations made by the city. You know, we're allowing free encroachment permits in order to be in our right-of-way. You know, the sidewalk.
But those are permanent, aren't they?
Yeah, they'll be permanent.
Yeah.
And so, but they'll be under encroachment permit because we still have an opportunity. We still have requirement to maintain the transportation, you know, through there and the drainage and those type of things. But yeah, the walking across park, you know, there's no conflict or anything like that. People can walk across and get to the parklet. The other part of the grant program is allowing for businesses, retail, restaurants, bars, to purchase equipment for outdoor. So whether it's heaters, tents, those type of things, so that people can have outdoor seating. And so I think we have $170,000, and people are already applying for it. So that, and if you purchase things, you know, post-March, while we were in the pandemic, we'll reimburse you for those things. So, you know, the Sea Grills, the Double A's, the
we know where you shanty, hang out.
The shanty. No, I'm just trying to go through the list. The people that have purchased equipment.
I'm thinking Henderson Center here, baby.
Diver's in on it. There's people who have done things outside that we will reimburse for their costs. So we're trying to keep people in business and keep people,
How do you get the plant? I mean, those things got to have, it's got to be as complicated as putting in a sidewalk or a driveway that requires all the building permits and all that kind of stuff. Is this a quick process or expedited to be able to get this stuff punched out before the weather changes?
Well, we saw the diver. Divers went in pretty quick. We can get them in very quickly. Our public works director, Brian Gerving, worked with a local contractor to establish the cost of these. And we have kind of a canned idea of what needs to go in. And so...
So they're almost pre-permitted?
Pretty much. I mean, they're not pre-permitted, but they're free for permitting. And, we have a design that people can use. They have to meet certain requirements as a part of our parklet ordinance. But, that can happen down the road. We're hoping to get a lot of participation. The funding from this came from the CARES Act, and it was federal money. A lot of municipalities are using it to make up for their losses. We felt that, encouraging businesses and maintaining the businesses in the long run is in the best interest, so we took this money and put it towards that.
And obviously it's something that's pretty well established now, so if somebody has a question, they can just pop in and talk to Brian and kind of get the...
Yeah, Swan Asbury is our project manager for economic development. She's running this program, and then she would work with engineering and public works on getting things in.
Cool. Have a calm weekend, huh?
Oh, I will.
All righty. See everybody on Monday.